guys. My gosh, he had more guns there waiting to be fixed. Stacks of them. Not on the racks, on the walls, just sitting around in corners that had to be fixed. Loads and loads of guns. But, he really doesn't do me.
Well, Nick, it's nice to, you know, when you're dealing, when you're getting your repair work done with people like that, that's part of your pleasure.
Well, the thing that, yeah, that's right. And, well, you know, you go into one, you know, you go into the Sears place, you know, and the old clerk takes it, and he doesn't know what's his and nothing.
No.
He didn't know, he couldn't look at it and tell you what's wrong with it, and he'd have to wait, and in months he might know or might not have worked on it or not, and cost you $40, and...
Yeah.
But this guy, you know, talks with you like he's your buddy, says, yeah, good buddy, says, I got your right fixed up. Pat you on the back, you know, and just really great. And
this way, you see, you don't have to have entertainment. That's right.
And I'm taking another gun back to him, one that we just chucked aside and just said, forget it. So I'm just because he's so great, I just want to take it back to him just so I can see him again. So I got another gun in the back. Old antique, octagon barrel, remember those old 22s?
Yeah.
Octagon barrel,
yeah.
Old ones.
Are they old?
Yeah. And it won't even cock or nothing. It's all messed up. And we just put it on the rack just for looks, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to take that back and let him, so I can have him do some more.
Well, now you see the world would be different if you could trade
with
somebody like that.
Well, Mr. Seiler, the mechanic's the same way. My mechanic, it helps me with my car.
Is he the one Dana went to?
Yeah, he's the one I always go to, the one that I got Dana in and everybody now. He's real close. He's just 2 miles away, right down the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah.
Right on the side of the road. Oh, he's wonderful. Smokes a pipe, old guy. He said, yes, sir. Yes, I'll have it fixed up for you. Yes, sir, right away. And he'll stop what he's doing and come right over and he'll look at it. And what's good about these two people, now most of these mountain people you got to watch. They're like the horse trails, they'll try to get you. But these two people are just as fair and honest. I've never seen anybody like it.
No.
I mean, overly so. $7 for doing, $4 for the shells, and then $3 for parts and labor. That's ridiculous. I felt embarrassed to pay them so little. That's what happened to me with Mr. Seiler. The first time I went down there, when I had the old car, the old Opel, the little one, I went down there, and it was missing or something. Before I was doing my own, you know. He replaced the plug, the point, changed the oil, gave me an oil filter, gave me an air filter, adjusted the brakes, realigned the wheels, balanced the wheels, and checked the fluid in the differential, put some more in, and I needed some of those jumper cables. He welded me a pair of those, and it cost me $8. And I said, $8, now come on, Mr. Seiler. I said, here, you just take 10. I felt embarrassed to give him $8. I felt embarrassed to give him 10. For all that. I couldn't believe it. It was just impossible. He couldn't do that and still be in business. But he did. Couldn't believe it. And all that stuff was top-notch work, too, he did. Just the first rate. And he stops what you do, and I go in there, and my wheels need balancing. He's right in the middle of, underneath the car, working on it. He'll stop what he's doing.
Now,
come right over.
You talk to him, and he'll tell you the sort of life he'll
give. That's right.
And it'll be aesthetic.
And that's right. And he'll even tell you how to do stuff yourself. That means he's cutting himself out of business. He'll say, now, you know, you don't need to bring this to me every time that happens. You just do this little thing right here.
That's important.
And you know, and that's something when he,
yeah.
You know, when he could, you could bring it to him and he could get a couple dollars for doing that.
Yeah.
And when he tells you how to do it yourself, that's really something.
But as far as you know, the people you knew over at Richmond there weren't close to anything tall like this.
Mm-mm. Not as far as I could tell. They were all, you know, the high society type.
And they never got out, as far as you know.
The old man, Randolph, they hunted some, got out in the country and did a little hunt.
But he was the old man.
But it was, yeah, none of the younger generation at all. The old man, a little, and his father more than any. You know, the old man. And Mr. Bird, same way, they'd do a little hunting every now and then. Out in the country, but that first, you know, they'd call up, you know, have it all arranged, they'd just walk out.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know.
They'd all own that property.
Yeah, they just call up their manager out there.
I imagine that's who's on gym. Let me see. Now they're at school. You just knocked around with the other boys, the girls out there too.
You mean at Swanee or at St. Christopher's?
St. Christopher's.
Well, there's no one. Well, the girl. See, it was a boys' school. St. Christopher's was a boys' school only.
Boys.
Well, now. A block away, joining, is
right.
The girls' school on another campus.
Yeah.
The campuses come together, but they're sort of separate. And we intermingle sometimes. The classes aren't mixed, except for unusual classes. Like, we'd have to go over there for art and music, and they'd have to come over here for high math and stuff. Science. So there'd be a couple mixed classes, but not much. And, so I just make sure.
You always had someone to go to a party with.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want.
They own the campus?
Yeah.
And their houses?
Well, either both, yeah. Sometimes, you know, the parents would have parties and they'd be invited and go to the house.
So you knew everybody?
Oh, yeah, I knew everybody, sure. I knew everybody in school right down to first grade. Right down to little old teeny kids, 7 years old. From first grade to 12th grade, 12 grades, there wasn't but 200-300 people. There wasn't but 20 in a class.
Yeah.
I knew them right on down to the little old fellow.
And their family.
Most of them were brothers, you know. The little guy in the first grade had a brother in the 8th grade, and
yeah.
He had a brother in the 12th grade.
Yeah.
You knew the guy in the 12th grade, you automatically got to know all them. And then they probably had a sister in the 3rd grade over at St. Catherine's. And maybe one in the 9th grade at St. Catherine's. So, you know, you get to know one, you get to know them all.
How'd
you get up there? So, you know 10 families, you know everybody in the school.
Yeah.
How'd you get up there?
Well, as boarder. See, now boarders are different.
I mean, how'd you get on to it?
Well, it's Episcopal, and, you know, we learn through the church. They publicize it a lot.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. There's only two or three Episcopal private schools in the country. There's Episcopal High School in Arlington, Virginia, and there's Virginia Episcopal School in Lynchburg, Virginia, and there's St. Christopher's in Richmond. See, those are the only. And see, those three schools are publicized a lot in the churches all around the country. Like our church in Holman Coco, they have slides and little movies and pictures and stuff of these three schools, and Swanee too. And so we got to know who they are. I applied to all three of those. All three of them.
And now the big, clubs, what were they?
Oh, they had, well, there's three clubs in Richmond.
Constitutional clubs?
Well, they're all different. There's two country clubs.
Yeah.
One outdoor and one indoor.
Yeah.
Tennis courts inside and everything inside. That's a real exclusive one. And then there's the outdoor one. That's the real old one. You know, 200-300 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody belongs to. And then there's the Commonwealth Club.
Commonwealth? I couldn't think of that.
Commonwealth Club.
That's the one.
That's the dining club. Pay $1,500 a year and you get to eat there. That's all that for that money you get the privilege of eating there.
Now who took you?
Now I've been there with the Birds and the Randolphs and the Blairs. before on the numerous occasions with those three people. See, the only way you can get in there is through inheritance. That's the only way you can get into the club. I mean, if I had $1 million and I wanted to get, I couldn't get in there. I'd have to marry one of those daughters to get in that club. That's what I'd have to do.
Somebody's already in it.
That's right. Now the other two clubs, you can get in with, you have to pull a lot of strings to get in.
Yeah.
But you could get in if you really wanted to, but not the Commonwealth Club. See, that was started in 1700. George Washington and all those guys were the first ones. And their descendants right on down the line are the ones that are still in it. Oh, it's the real rich, I mean, the old time, the old way it was. Just still, right down to the... They've got servants working in there that wait on tables that are grandsons of slaves that used to work on there. Even to that extent.
When
I went, it was the same thing.
One waiter.
That's right. Oh, two, three maybe. One to fill your water, and one to bring your food, and one to just sit there and... for anything you wanted, a match or something. And yeah, we did it the old way. We drove down, and I went down at the most with Mr. Randolph. He and his family. And see, he had he and his wife and his four kids and me. See, that would be seven people right there. See, we'd go down there, and he'd drive down. He'd go up to the first entrance, and all the girls would get out. And the two footmen would come down, two colored people. Come down in their little tuxedos, open all the doors, and the ladies go in. They'd escort them up and into the ladies' powder room. Then we'd drive on down a little bit further, go to the men's entrance. Then we'd get out, and the footman would come down. And
good evening.
Open the door.
Somebody.
Open the door for us.
Yeah.
I didn't open
that door. Yeah.
Footman would come down, open the door for us. And then take the car and go park it. And we'd go up this entrance into the men's room, and then we'd meet in the middle what do they call that? The ballroom or the waiting room or something. We'd meet the ladies in the waiting room. And then we'd become another guy in a tuxedo would come and escort us to the table. Master Randolph, you know, Master Randolph's table's over here, you know, so come and pick him up and go over to there. To that table, real lots of space, you know, not right up against the next guy, you know. You know, you have your table there, big, all tables were round, enough for seven people. It'd be 10 feet from the nearest table, be nice, you know. And there'd be three people, one, all men, no female workers, all men. And they'd all have their little napkins over their arm, you know. One guy would take the order, one guy would sit there but nothing to fill your drink, and the other one would sit there just for odds and ends, you know, you need a match, you have a match, you know, or mint or something, you know, you want anything, he's there for that, for every table, see, so you never have to worry. Boy, the minute you take one little sip of water, it's filled back up again, just right there, no problem, and you order and it's just... Everything comes in closed dishes and five courses, and just take your time. No hurry. If nobody needs your table next, you know, you can't rush off. Have your cocktail, and then you know, have your salad, and then your fruit cocktail, and then your main course, and then your soup, and then your dessert, and then your after-dinner drink and cigar, and, you know, just right on. Might even take 2 hours to eat. And just sit there and eat, you know,
and talk.
And Mr. Randolph, you see, now he had a little touch of that. I remember that. When he'd sit at the table, he'd call old John over, one of the colored boys that worked there, you know, he's pretty old. And he'd talk with John, he'd say, I remember your father used to work there. And we used to do this and that and everything, you know. He'd say, yeah. He'd say, yeah, I remember the time this man, I don't remember the specific thing, but I remember he had a little touch of that, you know. But then again, he was, you know, 50, 60 years old, Miss Randy. But that's the way it was. The meal cost him $100, and he still had to pay after paying $1,500 to belong. He still had to pay for the meal.
His dues, $1,500.
That's right. That's right. And he, well, they never carried cash. I mean, he just signed his name. They sent him a bill later. Never handled money. That's the old way it always was, a long, long time ago. They still got in downstairs, you know, where the cars parked, the old stalls where the buggies were put up and everything. Still got them, all the rows and stalls and everything. Hey, Lars.
Yeah, Swanee Episcopal.
Yeah.
Do you have any of that cat over in Swanee?
Not really. Used to be 10, 15 years ago, but it's all gone now.
All?
Just faint glimpses of it every now and then.
Just kept here like CICI?
They have, see, they're slowly going out there. They had family sit down style. And they still got it, but they have it once in a while, you know. At the cafeteria sometimes. Sit down sometimes. But they don't know how to. The students don't do it for what it is, you know. They eat in 5 minutes and leave, and might as well be cafeteria. It's all going, yeah.
So the meal is no ceremony anymore.
Not anymore. Used to be the tablecloths and everything. Got old hard wooden table, not wooden, but four mica table. That's it.
They ought to do something that the public schools don't do.
Well, even the fact that they have a little bit of sit down, something, I guess. There's plenty of things that they do that public school doesn't do.
Now, Mr. Lytle talks.
Yeah.
Well, in his talk, don't you see any of this?
Like the St. Christopher's, you know, you mean?
No, like the side, you know?
Yeah, sure. Not specifically horses, not all the time. Mostly deals with people.
Experiences.
Mm-hmm. See, they're all related to everybody. If you're from Tennessee, you're related to everybody else in Tennessee. Somewhere. So it's always my old fifth cousin, fourth removed. I remember her, she used to do this. Got an infinite number of people he's related to somewhere or another.
And he brings those up?
Yeah.
In class?
Mm-hmm.
But mostly at home.
All the time at home, but not. Just a little bit in class when it pertains.
Like in the Vanquished.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
The experience when he was young.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that was, when did he tell you that?
He told us that in class.
I forgot how that went.
That, the thing in the Unvanquished about, the little colored boy, starting to dominate the little white boy, and then suddenly he wakes up and realizes this can't be, and re-exerts his dominance over it. That Mr. Lytle told us a story from his own about that too, back in Murfreesboro where he lived. When he was 8 or 10 or something, he saw a he was driving a family buggy, and he saw some colored boys a lot older and bigger than he was, picking on a smaller little white boy. And without even thinking or stopping to think that these guys are bigger than he to beat him up easy, you know. He didn't even think of that. He just stopped that thing right there and said, "You get off me. I don't want you picking on that little white boy like that." You know, right in the mouths of the wolves, he's doing this, you know. And they just, "Yes, sir, yes, sir," to the little 8-year-old boy. Even then. He was using this to demonstrate that that even existed up into his time. Not anymore nowadays, but even when he was.
Well, we all have our uniform.
And he always wears a...
Oh, yeah. He always wears his little pocket watch and toothpick.
You know, I'd seen that thing around his neck, and I didn't know what it was.
I have, too.
Keeps it in his shirt pocket.
It's a watch.
About a gold pocket watch of his father's. It opens up, you know, and got a little picture of his parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also a gold toothpick on there. He lived the world of the right there in Richmond too.
Really?
Oh yeah. He lived in Paris and London, right? He was one of the top fencers. Sword fencers in this country. And he, you know, the English are always the famous ones for fencing. In London he held off the Duke of something or other, who was the current reigning fencer, for 5 minutes or something. He said he was around the back of him for 5 minutes and held him right off. He was that good. Oh, he had a cane with a sword in it and all that stuff all around Paris. He was quite the challenging duels and all sorts of things. When he was about 20 or 25 or something.
He had his international
flame. He said he had his little fling there for a couple of years, and then he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went from St. Christopher's on up to there, wherever he went to
school. He didn't go to St. Christopher's, but he went. Yeah, the same sort of thing. Well, you know, he went to Vanderbilt.
Well, you see, up until... Oh, World War II. It was a little closer to it. It was gone,
mm-hmm.
but it was close
yeah.
to it. You could see it.
Yeah, that's right.
So
see it if you look.
Yeah. So he could get to it. Now let me tell you, Nick, on the tape, you see, my experience is limited. I don't have access to the people. And my access is limited, you see. I can't say, all right, you come over here tomorrow, and next day, you see, they won't come. So I have to figure it to come. But Miss Daisy, through her, we have sort of resurrected Francis Presley.
Yeah.
Now, Francis Presley is one of the great spirits. And anyone connected with Robert Smith over here, why, when he came over there, he took care of Francis Presley. And she needed anything, she'd go over there and he'd get it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in his taste in people, he's right, Robert is right, critical. Old Man Boyd, you see, he would never think to do it. I like Old Man Boyd, but, you know, it looked up. But anyhow, we have got Miss Daisy to reconstruct episodes and Francis talks as far back as the 20s.
Hmm. That's pretty good.
Now you see, she can't do it by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only art that I've found, I know it's there, is to somehow or other get back there and hold it open.
Mm-hmm.
Hold it
mm-hmm.
there. Hold it open.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, one of the nicest things, now this, I don't know how this came up, but she got off on the babies. And one, she did that several times, and each time, taking care of the babies, or the midwife, well, two or three times before we found out that the midwife, she paid the midwife $2.50, and the midwife came 9 times. Every morning, 9 times.
Hmm.
And she, the midwife told her how to take care of her child.
Mm-hmm.
And such, you know,
mm-hmm.
one little thing after another. And one of the fascinating things is they want to keep the child quiet. And now, you see, they want the child to start having experiences for the days here.
Yeah.
And she never wakes the child up.
Mm-hmm.
When she'd be ready whenever the child woke up.
Yeah.
Or bathe the child and then dress the child and then feed the child.
Mm-hmm.
Put the child down.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, they give them a little soothing syrup. Put them off, another room on bed. Now she brought that to life. See, I'm just giving you the bare facts.
Mm-hmm.
She brought it to life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the nice things. Gosh, I wish I was up there. You see, people right civilized up there, they'll talk where you are. And they're not suspicious like they are down here.
Mm-hmm.
They,
well, it depends on how you go dressed. I couldn't go down like dressed like this. They'd back off. They wouldn't say anything. I have to go down my old jeans and my old boots and torn up shirt.
You know something about horses, and that got you.
Mm-hmm.
And look what it led to.
Oh. You don't do much talking. They do the talking. You listen.
Mm-hmm. I listen. Yep. See, they don't know I'm a college student. They did. Well, Jimmy does, but he
Jimmy don't.
He's different. He's been in contact. No.
He knows better to do that, don't
he? Yeah, I know, because he knows how they would think.
Yeah.
They don't like college students at all. Anything connected with it.
Yeah. They don't like university either.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, you know,
yeah.
not advertise it.
Yeah. You have to. Well.
You ought to get some of this down. Yeah, I know you've got to go, because you've got,
have,
you said 11
9,
o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But,
You want, I'll give you all these.
Hmm?
You got anybody to help?
No.
No?
I'm on the road, and never had a lot more. And, the new boat, he's picking on me. And, there were lots of. This is down most of my intelligence. There's a lot of other people around. Not older kids, bigger than me. But he said that just because of the way he was brought up, that in his mind he just, you know, not even complicated. He was above these people, and then he had authority over him. How old he was. And so he saw this, you know, the boy picking on this white boy. He just jumped down there and yelled at the rapper, don't pick on that guy. You know, and all the places. And he's only 10 years old. And they all, you know, just take what he said. And then you know, he said, yeah. And I'll be way on over in the hill.
How much of that did you get in Richmond?
It was a different sort of thing there. There's a lot of in that country thing. This is all city and all the city folks were just this thing, you know, this type plantation and everything. And they all just took the attitude School wanted to take the scholarship and then into the school and
but that was just an issue.
Teachers were more or less like the area.
Not so much as we had to see. I was on the tennis team with John Belair. It's a whole little funny. The charter members, the only way you can get in is to follow them. So, all these people are not, but I'm trying to study. in Louisville, Fancy Dining Club. They pay $1,500 a year just to belong to a dining club, which half of them will go through twice a year. And on top of that, they have to pay for the meal. I said, listen, I have to pay the members $1,500 a year, and I have to pay for their own meal. It was right at 62.
Now it's got to be a lot more.
Right downtown with some big buildings.
How old were you in
Gulf Canyon? I was
18.
Just like the old time, they did everything the same. You came in with a tuxedo, you stopped the car up here, and the ladies get out, and the guys get out here, and the women get out, and the sisters take the girls out there. You go up different things, and the ladies go up different things, and you meet in the car, and then the butler takes you in. There's three paid three Negro waiters for every table in their little white tuxedo. They wait on only you. You know, and you'll be $100. You can, you know. I'd go with the Randolphs all the time, but.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I didn't meet her, but we had some pictures.
Anyway, she got the two brothers and the sisters, so that's four. Plus myself would be five, and parents would be seven. That'd be $100, I think, if it was my baby. Everything was done the old thing. Extremely leisurely. I mean, you didn't wait for me. Top of the building overlooking the city. They must have had some lunch back in those old days. They'll be right next to the city. Three or two.
But they didn't talk, right?
The oldest generation, I think, was up here.
Well, now you see, that experience, the dormitories you talked about yesterday, did they ever talk about things like that?
Not much. They don't ever, I'm not so sure that they should, because they never come to my house right now. Because here these people are, you know, always talking about stuff in their house and brought up in the, you know, in the town house, although I feel good, but I've heard the older generation, old Mr. Randolph, Mary's grandfather, not 75 years old, and old Mr. Blair, Catherine's grandfather. I've heard them talk pretty good, but it wasn't still quite right, and they were in the way to talk about things like in the old days. But it still wasn't as much.
Sound
like something.
Well, now, Nick,
how
did this come up?
Did Jimmy come up to ask you? He came to my house. They were looking for him. His mother, his maid, my landlady, I don't know his name. And, he came in. Knocked on the door real loud. I thought the house was gone. The corn chip. Got a deal for him. So, he's always got a deal for him.
Is that
good? Is
that good?
Yeah.
Is that after hours?
I just finished my exam for this life. Just finished it.
Oh. Yeah.
It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock.
But he was still on the job.
No, he didn't work on Saturday.
Oh, that's Saturday.
Yeah. He worked just 10 weeks. And what else?
And did he take you out there?
Well, I didn't know where this place was. He showed me. He went back to his house. And, come on and pick me up at his house. Pick him up at his house.
Oh, you take him up there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always end up on his car. I always talk to him. He never said that. He always said, we're going out. I asked him, do you want to go in my car? You want to go? Oh, go in your car.
Bring
that car.
Not very wacky.
Close. It was about 40 miles from Kansas City.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
No wonder
you
didn't get home until late.
Yeah, it was very, very late. It was pretty good. And then, due north, around the dirt road, and all the dirt roads, winding around. Well, he knew this fella from around. He knew shows or something. He knew the guy. And apparently the guy had told him about it. Or he'd seen him or something. And so he had been up there the week before.
he circulates over the countryside.
Oh, yeah.
40 miles
yeah,
off in P. Red.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he went down to... He went down to, Manchester. No, he went all the way to Nashville to get a horse one time. Look at one. Just look at one. That's 90 miles.
But out of P-Ridge.
P-Ridge, that's 40 miles. At least, maybe 45. Yeah, he knows all the little back roads, way on back in there. He's the one who got me on that gunsmith. Well, I've never seen such a place to get back there. I asked him back there, anybody else could come. Oh, no. Ray Jett, he's the best in the world. I always said, I can't tell you. I said, you can't tell me how to get there? No, I'm sorry. In 2,000, I'll show you. So we went down so many S-turns and back down a little old dirt roads and two cow pastures and everything. Got back in the walls and back. Little old tiny house on the road. And it had a big gun out front with a mailbox kind of thing. So we just came. And, he said, that's not the place that it's behind. So we're on the honey house, a great big building back there, 10 times bigger than the house. That was just one fixing shop, a lot bigger than the house. I went back to get the gun later. And I really got lost my way after I'd been there.
You had things to work with?
Oh, yeah. And the whole world. I don't think there's a big game shop. All the things. He even makes his own. But all the woodwork stuff and exercise and everything. There's the nicest guy in the world here.
He was just sitting and talk.
No, he was a talker. Ooh.
Boy,
just... And I went in there to pick them up yesterday. There was two or three guys in there that were coming in with me. And I was just standing there waiting for them to wait on me. And just standing there was an education right there. Wasn't it? All that talking to me was all that. And it was really good.
Talking about guns.
Yeah, that ain't as good as the one I had. It would be this and the other guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I shot for him. Had a hole through the stopper to put the thing. And then what we're doing, put the hole right through the stopper. And put the thumb in there, kind of cool in there. And this is his long range deer gun. Big scope on the top and
600 power magnification and six big shells. So you can get them and you couldn't even see them. You have to look through the binoculars and see them. The walls are just lined. I mean, standing up on the windows on. There must have been 5,000 all in there. Awful. So, you could go through them all day and just, you know. And then in the back, you didn't go nowhere. The guys in TV is in this race. And I just got back, from the one place when it started doing it. And it makes me ask if it fell off of TV. Oh, Ray! He's a good friend. He's just around. Ray's on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing like that around here.
No, sure
is. Clyde's not even close to that, is it?
Well, I don't know how wide Clyde's top player is.
He's new.
He's
taken a while.
When you got over there, where the horse was, you saw the race through it yesterday. Was it the horse just out in the pasture?
No, but when we drove up, the horse was, they were bringing him in from the pasture, put him in a stall.
Oh, they knew
he
was
coming. Yeah. He didn't tell him or something.
So they had caught the horse.
And so they had caught it and in the process putting it in the stall. Stall about as big as a human. Big stall.
So the horse was nervous and just being caught.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have put him in such a big stall. Because they had too much room to move around the stall. So. And just scratching over and stand over against the wall.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All of you in the stall?
Jimmy and I in the stall. And the other fellow.
Yeah, not only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was hardly enough to touch me. Took a lot of talking and doing just to get up to him.
Oh, that talk then.
Mm-hmm. Touching holes and feet or something. And he beat it and then back off. And he was real good at
now, just a medium size horse?
About the size of Missy. It was just medium size. They said it was a quarter horse and I hadn't taken it. But, I found out it was a little bit of a family, you know, and it came in.
Are you taking a baby horse, you know?
Either mistreatment or... Every once in a while, I want him to see an accident like that. But from the way he handled that thing and got on him, I would say that he'd be mistreated.
Well, if you had the horse, you could say that, tone him down,
oh, yeah.
Fire him down.
Oh, okay.
Or just a little handle.
Mm-hmm. They don't handle their horses, I think. They just, you know, ride them, turn them loose, and that's it. Sometimes I spend all day just catching a horse. Been with him sometimes. We spent all afternoon trying to catch the food together. And he had a fire for the old bucket of food trip, too. I come up with it about 2 feet and I'm looking at it. You saw it really on me, so I came back down.
Yeah, the trailer just straight down.
Mm-hmm.
Going home.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't ever, I'm trying to run them, but I know how to do it. They always think it's my way. To try the old feed truck first. If that didn't work, then you try to run them down. That'll never work. It's going to work. Or to run all day and you can never run.
How to run?
Oh, you know, it's just three, 4 miles and try to get them into the corner. It's just, which is worse, because when he's running, he's all, you know, wild and literally done worse. It's even worse, you know, calm it out. But then when you do get him into the corner, he'll go over the fence for a long time.
I'll kick him out there.
Mm-hmm.
What did you, what sort of success or what did you ever find? You know, he did get that here once in a while.
Well, I always just do the, you know, try to approach him gently and calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And if that really just won't work, I don't ever do any more with him.
Just wait for later.
Yeah, try again an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is an alternative way if you're really, really desperate. You have to do it. You can rope him.
But Jimmy then can't rope him.
They can't rope him. I don't know how to rope him. And that can't hold my shoulders in.
Have you seen him run a horse?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. He's probably something like that. Everybody gets that answer. The horse always just gets by. He's running to head him off. You know, the horse is running along the fence, and you're running over the fence to head him off. And he just gets behind the horse. You know, with the arm, he runs all the way down the other end of the path, and everybody runs down there. And then he's going back and forth in the corner, and he's going to go this way. He'll run over the fence to head him off, and he just puts on a burst of speed and gets by. And he'll run over the other corner. And he can do this all day till he tires you out and he's going to get off. And then he's lost.
And the horse
didn't
find
it. The horse didn't find it. No, I've done that so many times.
On foot?
On foot. Well, if you have another horse, you can go and do it.
That's the way, you know, you've always gotten into running with the crowd.
Well, if you have a crowd, it's different.
Yeah.
If you're in an open pasture, you can't. If you have a crowd, so you've got a little pen or something. Everybody can play in the area to be spinning.
Yeah.
And then further than impact. No, nobody will have those things. They have them, but they don't have them connected with the pasture. That's what gets me.
Oh.
I don't understand that.
Now, what's that?
Everybody up there has their pastures laid out, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't have their pens connected to the pasture.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a... You
mean like the corral?
The corral, I think. They don't have them connected to the pasture.
Yeah.
It'll be over here behind the house or something. You gotta catch the horse and then roll him in the pen.
Yeah.
It'd be much easier to have the pasture connected on. You just open the gate and run in and close the gate and be it, you know. No,
and then in the pen, have little pens.
That's right.
There you go. Close the gate.
But they'll connect their barn with the with pastures sometimes. Because that's the easy way to do it. They'll just open all the doors in the stall and have the feeding cattle come in and get feed.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to leave each one out the pasture.
Yeah.
They just leave it open.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, if they could think of that, you know, they could think of that thing. They're going to go out.
Well, now, were you in the pen when you were nodding this way?
Well, we put the saddle on in the stall.
Oh, you're in the stall?
Yeah, they had brought him into the farm. Yeah.
Oh, that's a big stall.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the bridle on him, a rope on him.
The guy, well, they brought him in with the rope, and then the guy spent about a half hour on the bridle. He didn't mind.
Did you take over the horse, or did they hold the horse while you were saddling it?
Well, they held the reins, you know, while I was saddling, but then that was all.
And
horse could still move around.
Yeah.
You know, you see the head stuff, they could still move around now. That's what they were doing. But, you know, they were going to let you throw it up, you know, move the rein around, you know. You throw the saddle up, and move back in the room and start. You move over to him again and throw the paddle up and move around.
How long that go on?
No, I don't know. The guy whole thing was just turning around the circle. It was just turning around. Yeah, that's what's going with the stall, see?
Yeah.
She did it. She had a reason. You know, she's coming back up. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you used your hat?
Yeah, I had it over there. So, yeah.
Oh, clear up on his head.
Yeah, on his head.
Well, I said, why did he let you get up that close?
Well, see, I had that. Well, I was putting this from doing to get him on the ground, too. So I had to put my hat off here, so. And then I put it on it. 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 And then I put it on it.
With your hand on his neck?
No, I had my hand on his neck.
Yeah,
over his eyes. And this time I see it.
Well, he could feel that motion, though.
And I put it down on when it showed up, and then it comes down on top of it, and it comes down there and feels it. He did move around after he dumped it, but it was all around.
So he let it go. But then you couldn't mount it.
Couldn't get on either. After he stopped it all up, he goes to put in the stuff in the bathroom. Bathroom, every time. So I did the same thing.
You got your head with foot in the trap?
Mm-hmm.
And still holding your hat over his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And swung up.
Mm-hmm.
With your right hand.
I had my left hand over his eye. Put my right hand on the side of him.
Yeah.
Right.
So wouldn't be easy to swing up that way, would it?
No, you could use left hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could do it. They didn't push you or anything.
No. They were afraid of it. Nobody ever got money before. They didn't know where he'd buy the street.
Oh, they
standing.
Didn't even know where he'd ride.
Everybody was standing way back. No, nobody ever knew him before. But they didn't know that. They didn't have to do it.
So you were guinea pigs.
Yeah, I know. That's what I found out. I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know all that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never ridden it.
No, they didn't tell me that. They didn't tell me anything.